You're listening to Real Presence Live on the Real Presence Radio Network. Join the conversation on our Facebook page or on Twitter. And be sure to like and follow us for more great Catholic content. Now, back to the show.
Thank you for staying with us and welcome back to Real Presence Live. We've had a wonderful show so far. We visited with Bishop Andrew Cousins of the Diocese of Crookston and their wonderful event that they are having called the Star of the North Eucharistic Congress, scheduled for May 17th, 18th, and 19th. I'm Karen Stolensky, along with my wonderful co-host, Father Craig Holkalter, the pastor of St. Anne's Parish. So we now have Bishop David Kagan from our diocese, Father.
It's great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Aren't we blessed to have two bishops today?
Yeah, and within the same show in the same hour.
Yes.
We should shoot for having more bishops next time. People always tune into it.
Yes.
Bishop Cousins was so great. And it, you know, what came from his interview is just the leadership of what he's doing.
Yes.
And the bishops, you know, that are in union that are leading this revival, and not only locally but regionally. There's so many levels to it. But I think the interview taught that or displayed that, that I'm not always aware of and I don't speak well enough of, is the layers, the levels of this. And it's no different here in the Diocese of Bishop, Diocese of Bismarck. We welcome to the show for the second half hour of the first hour, Bishop David Kagan of the Diocese of Bismarck. Bishop Kagan, good morning.
Good morning, Father. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Good morning, Bishop.
Appreciate your time this morning. We want to, although we're well into it, and celebrating the feast day of St. Mark the Evangelist, April 25th, and as we move into these three, four, five Sundays of Easter, and soon end with the beautiful feasts and solemnities of Pentecost and Ascension, Bishop Kagan, a lot of people don't know that the first several days after Easter Sunday is we recognize as the Octave of Easter. So, Bishop Kagan, could you give to our listeners the season of Easter's 50 days, when it begins, of course, Easter Sunday, but talk a little bit about the Octave, and then if you could pinpoint the, kind of those specific days, you know, that are as we move through the, each of the Sundays of Easter until we get to Ascension and Pentecost. Can you tell us about the Octave and then move into the rest of the season? That there's just a lot there of our Catholic faith that's really beautiful and rich, and no way better to hear it than from a bishop's mouth.
Well, you're very kind, but the Octave of Easter, there are two great octaves in the liturgical year, the Octave of Christmas and the Octave of Easter. Both are quite distinct. The Easter Octave, however, which we've most recently celebrated, begins with on Easter Sunday, and then for the beginning with Easter Sunday up to 8 days, which would be Divine Mercy Sunday, the second Sunday of the Easter season. The Church literally in its daily Mass readings, the daily prayers for each of the Masses, in a very real and spiritual way, relives the great Sunday of Easter. And I believe it was St. Augustine who called Easter Sunday the Sunday of Sundays. And we can understand why he would do that, but the octave is a bit different in the prayers, the readings, than the rest of the Easter season. The one thing during the octave, the first reading is taken, the Church takes a selection from the early chapters of the Acts of the Apostles, authored by St. Luke. And then the Gospels are selected from one of the passages, are selected from one of the four Gospels for each day of the octave, which whomever the evangelist is describing the events of that first Easter day. And again, the Church, by design, wants us to do this, and wants us not just to strengthen our faith in the resurrection of our Lord from the dead, but to understand better what he accomplished in obedience to the will of the Father for us, and that is our redemption. And so the octave is a very special liturgical, in a sense, sub-season within the entire Easter season, but it's the first 8 days, and the sacred liturgies, we each day we pray the Gloria as we began doing at the Easter Vigil, and we'll continue to do, of course, but each of those first 8 days, they're the reliving, if you will, of Easter Sunday, and the Church wants us to do that, as I said, for a very special and specific reason.
Bishop Kagan,
the
sub-season of these 8 days, a part of me wishes we would have had this prior to those 8 days. I even preached on it, but it was particularly striking to me. You didn't allude to this, you actually said it outright, but something that really grabbed me this year was those 8 days, those Gospels especially, kind of pick apart and really develop that first Easter, that first day of the resurrection,
yes,
with the apostles and guy, you know, alongside Mary Magdalene, finding the tomb empty,
right,
and that exact period, and how rich those 8 days are.
Oh yeah, no, they're magnificent in, as you say, it almost dissects down to verse by verse of all four Gospels. Narration of that first Easter Sunday. And one of the reasons the Church does this, it's somewhat analogous to how the Church wants us to meditate on the parables of Jesus. The Church is doing this and, in a way, urging us very directly, find yourselves in these events of that first Easter Sunday. You know, whom are we most like? You know, and it's not a bad thing. You know, I mean, it wasn't just St. Thomas. He gets a bad rap, I think. They all were still in hiding. They couldn't grasp the events of Good Friday and Holy Saturday. And what stands out most is, who is it that actually proves to them the resurrection? It's Jesus himself. They aren't about to believe Mary Magdalene and the other women. They weren't especially ready to believe the two men who were on the way to Emmaus. It's Christ himself shows them, you know, and he even takes them a bit to task. He says, stop your unbelief, you know, and, you know, look at me. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bone as I do, you know, and then he asks them for a piece of fish and he eats it in front of them. But it's Jesus himself who brings the resurrection to the apostles and those first disciples and proves beyond any doubt everything that the law and the prophets had said about him was true. He's not just completed it, he's perfected it. And now it's for them to, you know, continue the preaching of that gospel. And what's kind of nice about the following weeks of the Easter season, we get a running, almost a complete reading of the Acts of the Apostles.
Yes.
But we see just how transformative the resurrection of Jesus from the dead was on these first disciples and apostles, quite ordinary people. You know, and sometimes we may even wonder, what was Jesus thinking of when he chose these people? They're somewhat dense, you know. But once they see him and their faith is confirmed by the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday, there's no stopping them. And the church is showing us, you know, this is the same effect the resurrection of Jesus from the dead for you and me should have on us. You know, does it have this effect on us? Or, you know, what's holding us back, so to speak, from, in our own times and places, preaching Christ, you know, by word and example, probably more by example than word, but it's such a beautiful season.
I want to get to Pentecost after our short break, Bishop Kagan, but I like
all right.
the insight there was gripping in terms of that there's up and to. And now you can correct me after the break. I want to believe that, to my memory, kind of the third, fourth week, the weekday Gospels leading up to Holy Week are filled with the followers and the opposers of our Lord asking for signs. And
right.
There is something so striking to what you said about it. It was Jesus himself. He didn't give a sign. He gave himself to St. Thomas, who does get a bad rap because we're all in that boat. But that's something I want to go after, because then in the days ahead of the octave and then the rest of the season of Easter into, as you mentioned, Pentecost, there's so much rich teaching there that we want.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So we're going to go to a short break. Father Craig Holkalter, along with Karen Zielinski of Real Presence Radio. We're going to go to a mini break here before we return with Bishop David Kagan, the Bishop of the Diocese of Bismarck. We'll be right back.
This is Real Presence Live, where the focus is not on the evil around us, but on conversion and mercy through the good news that is always good. We're local, engaging, and live on the Real Presence Radio Network. Did you know you can listen to the RPR Network when you're on the go? Just search for Real Presence Radio in your app store. Listen live to any station across the network at any time, so you can stay connected to your local community from wherever you are. Plus, if you miss a program, the Real Presence Radio app is your one-stop shop for local and national podcasts, including our signature show, Real Presence Live. The Real Presence Radio app, with you every step of your faith journey. Download it today and see what you've been missing.
This is Father Anthony Craig from the Diocese of Duluth. Being a priest is a great joy in my life, and I love especially the celebration of Holy Mass, where it is the sacrifice of Jesus once again displayed before us, that we are informed by it, and it changes our life. Over time, the grace of the Lord actually gives us joy. And as a priest, to celebrate that sacrament, the sacrament of the Eucharist, for people, and to bring God from the altar down to others and to give them the Eucharist is a great joy in my life. And as I distribute communion, I ask the Lord to bless each of the people that come up to receive the host. And I thank God for the great gift of the priesthood, which gradually came to me. It was not all at once, but over time I realized that the Lord was giving me the desire and ability to be a priest and to be a man in Christ, a man of the church, and a man for others. And he eventually showed me that that was the true joy, that where my deep gladness met the world's great need. And that is the essence of a vocation.
For centuries, healthcare has been central to the healing ministry of the church. Today's technologies offer exciting possibilities, but also serious moral questions. More than ever, we need healthcare leaders who serve with integrity and conviction. The University of Mary answers the call to prepare leaders anchored in moral courage in a breathtaking range of programs from bioethics to nursing. Visit CatholicProfessional.life.
This is Real Presence Live on the RPR Network, bringing you stories of faith and hope through local hosts and guests from across the Upper Midwest. Now, back to the show.
Good morning. Blessed feast day of St. Mark the Evangelist, and to all the notaries that are tuning in. Never thought I'd say that on Catholic Radio. But St. Mark, I think, would want us to, Karen. It's their
interesting
their,
stuff, actually.
It is, isn't it? And to St. Mark, we know he's praying for us, and as the Bishop of Alexandria, first century, we are with another bishop, not of Alexandria, but of Bismarck. Bishop David Kagan is with us. To all of our listeners, we welcome him to the show. We're speaking on the season of Easter, and the prime importance and really beautiful 8 days, the octave of Easter that follows. As you would know, Bishop Kagan, your many years as soon to be 50 years as a priest in 2025, is that correct?
Right.
A couple of years, 50 years as a priest.
Congratulations.
Many roles and offices in the church, but certainly as pastor, there's a lot of hype and there's a lot of build for the sacred liturgies of the Triduum, Holy Thursday, Good mm-hmm. Friday, Holy Saturday, but then we have these beautiful 8 days of the octave. And so to paint even a better picture, Bishop Kagan, can you tell us, so it's 50 days, the season of Easter, and then how does it close, and then the important feast days that follow, in fact, on Sundays for the people of God to know and really to note as they're listening in this morning?
Again, the Easter Sunday itself is the greatest of our church's solemnities in its liturgical year. And then the octave relives that greatest of days, the Sunday of Sundays, as St. Augustine says. But then the rest of the Easter season keeps... Oh, that's Tony, my border
guy. He's the next segment.
The rest of the Easter season then keeps before us through the Mass prayers, the Scripture selections for Masses, the Liturgy of the Hours, especially Office of Readings. It keeps before us the primacy of the Resurrection, but in a real way, it brings it back to a more practical level, and presents to us in the persons of our Blessed Mother and the apostles and first disciples kind of a practical way of how do we live Easter? How do we actually live our redemption and let others know of this? You know, it's not that everybody doesn't know what Easter is, but there are so many now who kind of think it's just one nice holiday in the course of the year in the springtime when we exalt the Easter Bunny and have Easter egg hunts and eat, you know, candy. But it's... Why are we celebrating, if for an extended period of time, Easter? It all comes back to the redemption of each of us and all of us as the will of Almighty God our Father, and He sends His only begotten Son to do this because He's the only one who can do this for us. He's sinless. And the rest of us are sinners. And so with that, it's kind of like 6 or 7 more weeks of a daily kind of how to be what St. Augustine called us. He, in one of his sermons, he said, we are an Easter people. And how do we become Easter people other than just, oh yeah, Easter was beautiful and we had a nice Mass, but now it's business as usual. If the resurrection of the Lord from the dead had an effect and has an effect in our lives, it can't be business as usual. It has to be lives patterned after those apostles and those first disciples who were totally transformed, they laid down their lives in order to let other people know about Jesus, dead and risen from the dead for their sakes and our sakes. And so it's, you know, even as we progress through the weeks, that Easter is still kept before us, and as we certainly approach the solemnity of the Ascension of the Lord, it brings us back in a certain sense to Easter Sunday, and then it kind of rushes us forward those 40 days to the Ascension. But then Between the Ascension and then the solemnity of Pentecost and the official close of the Easter season, we very much should spend those days between the Ascension and Pentecost Sunday as the apostles did with our Blessed Lady, in prayer and meditation and awaiting the coming of the Advocate, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, to confirm their faith. And literally that first Pentecost, they couldn't keep silent about what Jesus had done. They were almost impelled to leave that upper room, never to return to it, but to go to the four corners of the known world, I suppose, at that time, to let others know of Christ. And we see, I forget where I was for confirmation recently, but I just, in talking to the young people, I said, I have a question for you, and I don't expect you to answer it. And I said, the question's for you, for your sponsors, for everybody here in church. And then, do you really think these apostles, quite ordinary people, and those first disciples with them, do you really think that without being empowered and confirmed in their faith in Jesus risen from the dead, they could have gone and converted literally the known world in less than 100 years? And there was perfect silence in church. I should do that more often. Even the babies weren't crying. It's true. When you think of that, that command, that divine commission to them from Christ at the moment of his ascension is compelling. And Bishop Kagan, God, the Holy Spirit, who empowered them to do that.
Bishop, it's. I mean, quite literally over. Just the rod numbers of 40 and 50 between Lent and Easter. Mm-hmm. There's a real spiritual journey through all of this,
and there is.
And to your point of, unfortunately, you say the word Easter out loud, and people reduce it to maybe a morning on a Sunday. Church or not, maybe. Mm-hmm. Easter Bunny for sure. And there's such a richness there that you've opened us up to this morning on the radio. And it really, beginning with Ash Wednesday, people really turn out for that. And then it's not the only observation, but I see where there's so much more to be had as we go through Lent, the Triduum, Easter Sunday, the Octave, and then these rich, rich solemnities of Ascension, Pentecost, and Corpus Christi, which is so relevant this year with the revival. Mm-hmm. Well, we just have a few minutes left before we go to hard break. Bishop Kagan, what are some ways priests and the lay faithful can do to live more of that? You quoted Augustine, to be Easter people. What can we do to have more of that alive in our hearts?
Well, I think first and foremost, I've always been puzzled. Catholic people are tremendously good, and they go very faithfully to Mass all through Lent. And then with Easter Sunday, of course, everyone is there. But Easter Monday, about half the people are at Mass after Easter. I would say, before anything else, what one commits oneself to in Lent shouldn't stop on Easter Sunday.
Yes.
It should continue. And no matter what any one of us committed to during Lent, it's a preparation to be able to fully celebrate Easter with the kind of joy that we're supposed to have joy in. It's not the material things. It's our redemption. If there's something we should be happier about than our redemption, I don't know what it is.
But, that's for sure.
I would say with Pentecost Sunday and then with the following solemnities of the Most Blessed Trinity and of the solemnity of Corpus Christi, we're celebrating, the very essence, the foundation of our faith, you know, and it's faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God and our Savior, who was crucified for our sakes and rose from the dead for our sakes. That's what not just got people's attention, that's what converted them, you know.
Bishop Kagan, thank you for your words this morning. It's
yes, thank you.
Yeah, this would have been. I mean, it's the Lord has
so
his timing.
So many people
in it
need
all
to hear this, though.
Well, and it would have been that, you know, even during Holy Week, yes, there's so much there. Maybe just the mm-hmm. week before Holy Week, mm-hmm. we should podcast this, and yep. or if Bishop, if you could come back just the week before Holy Week next year and do the same thing, that'd be
mm-hmm. right.
That, what you encapsulated is such. There's so much there, and mm-hmm. it is hard to speak to in a concise way, Bishop Kagan. You did that this morning, and we're grateful for your time. Have a blessed feast day of St. Mark, and know of our prayers for you.
Yes, thank
well,
you, Bishop.
Thank you very much to both of you. God bless yeah. you.
Have yeah, a good thank day. You. Thank you, Bishop.
Thanks. Bye now.
So up next, we have yes. on Real Presence Live here, we have Ken and Marianne Dupont, and they are the parents of Michelle Dupont. A wonderful story, a cause for canonization. So please stay tuned. You don't want to miss this next segment. And we're going to take a quick break.